Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Game 3, as you know, of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Our conversation with the head coach is brought to you by Star Markets Just For You. Digital app, earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I was thinking about the long gap between games and how there's sort of this natural thing, like, let's get to it, especially when it's a late game. And then I realized we've had a variation of this conversation before, but you're talking to Hubie Brown and P.J. Carlissimo before the game. And I would think for you, that's got to be, I mean, that's like a vacation within work.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. It's always fun to talk to everybody, but certainly all the former coaches and people that have been there, done that. And I see that their stress level looks lower than the rest of us.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to kind of put in my mind down the road.
Lessons to be learned.
That's
when,
right.
When it is their job to ask you questions, do you ever find yourself sort of hijacking the conversation by things you want to know from them?
Yeah, sure. Done that many times. I don't know that I've ever really gotten, you know, there have been a couple of those meetings where I'm not sure we ever talked about our team, you know, because we just start shooting the breeze about basketball, about different topics, things going on around the league or around the game. But it is fun. It's fun to listen to their thoughts. And you know, I'll usually ask them for their critiques because I'm interested in them.
I often am interested in what you look at after the game and what you say in the days after versus what you say immediately following, and even in these, like, Turner games, these national games, when you're mic'd during them, what you say during the game, and almost word for word, it was the exact same thing. The mic on you during the game, during the one timeout, said, keep it moving, keep it popping, don't let their presence make you take shots you don't want. And that turned out to be the exact sentiment in game 2 you echoed after the game and have said in the 2 days since.
Yeah, it was very clear that they pushed us out of where our comfort zone on both ends of the court, and you got to be able to meet force with force in a legal, physical, solid way. And I didn't think we did that as well in game 2. They did a much better job than they played in game 1. You know, I think we've now had 2 games where one team really controlled the tone of the game. And now I would anticipate both teams will be really ready to go tonight.
Were there any similarities between what we saw from them in Game 2 and some of the problems they caused in the series last year?
Yes, I thought a lot of similarities. You know, I thought our decisions off the bounce weren't very good. I think that you've got to be able to drive and kick against these guys, find open shooters. You know, I think they switched a ton, which they hadn't done as much in the past, but they did it all last year in the series after Game 1 or 2. And we got better at attacking it as the series went on. We'll have to be better tonight attacking it. But you're not attacking it necessarily to score. You know, I think obviously Kyrie has got a different ability to do that than everybody else. But you're usually attacking it with the idea of making a play for somebody else.
Is it a function of the 72 hours, and there's going to be another 72-hour gap coming up here, that there are, in my view, sort of extra questions about Marcus Smart and about Malcolm Brogdon, and this notion that there's nothing else really to talk about other than to magically expect that when those two guys individually, the second they are cleared, that they're going to be the exact same player that they were the second they got injured, as if nothing happens in between.
That's right. That's right. And, yeah, there's not much else to talk about, that's for sure. But I do think that, you know, obviously both those guys are important to their team. They both will add a bump to their team whenever they come back. You know, there's a reason why people are interested in their recovery, because they could really impact the series. Malcolm's a heck of a player. He's good on both ends of the court. He had a 50-40-90 year. Marcus is a heck of a player. We know what he does for us. So I understand why people are asking.
You weren't here 10 years ago, naturally, when on the eve of the opening game of the playoffs, word quickly spread around the organization that Danny had had what they called then a mild heart attack, which always struck me as one of the great oxymorons in the medical profession. How difficult it was, a very close hold in a very small group on Tuesday that knew, had some idea what was going on. How difficult was that?
You know, it was difficult because you're very concerned about your friend. You're very concerned about his family. By the time we were in the game, at that point in time, felt good about the fact that he was in the hospital being taken care of, had been stabilized, etc. You know, I think ultimately that was a positive. He's doing way better now, which is great. He got great care. You know, we're obviously very thankful for that. And We don't, you know, you don't think about it. Everybody thinks about him in terms of, and I said this about John Havlicek, like they think about these guys in terms of what they do and what they did on the basketball court, and we think about them as our friend and our coworker and everything else. We just want him to get healthy and feel better.
His presence, when he is not here, suddenly you realize how present he is with and connects to so many people.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'd say even more so when we're at the practice facility. I mean, he's always walking around, usually with one of those like little dodgeballs in his hands, just throwing them at people as they're getting ready to shoot, or throwing it from the upper deck of the his loft there by his office. But no, I think he's got one of the among the many great qualities of Danny is he just loves hoops. He just loves being around, and in many ways, as a kid who has never let go of that. With our guys and within our organization, I think we all appreciate that passion and that the fun that he brings to the table.
Yeah, we all can close our eyes and see that sort of smile, that mischievous sort of smile.
No, mischievous is another good way of putting it.
What are you up to now, Danny?
That's right.
All right, priorities are in line. Game 3 is next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.